Happy Monday, everybody. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here because Mondays mean trip reports. And maybe you need a quick break, a mental vacation to Walt Disney World. We've got that right now for you. Coming up, Sarah's going to be speaking about her recent trip. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. Maybe it's you. Maybe you just can't get enough Disney. You need something in print or maybe even an audio version. Check out Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. It's a great book focusing on Walt Disney World's dream for taking the Disneyland experiment to the East Coast, down to Central Florida. And also, you know, talking about Epcot. Epcot was dreamed for more than a theme park. It was actually a urban development. It was going to be amazing. So check this out. And also, this book gets you fired up for life. It helps you think about your relationships with your friends, your family, your coworkers. There's little checkpoints to talk about how you can make your life even better, kind of modeling on the ideas that Walt Disney left us. So check out these two great books, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt and the original, The Wisdom of Walt, all available right now over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Save time and money on the next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation with our friends over at touringplans.com, the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. For about the price of a flatbread at Pinocchio's Village House, you're getting 365 days of great information so you can steer clear of the crowds and have an awesome time. Check out our friends over at touringplans.com and let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1313 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. Thanks for dropping in. You know, it's spring now. We're getting into April. Baseball season's back. It's awesome. We got two big baseball fans here today for you. Myself and Sarah, we're going to talk to you in just a second. So right now, this time of the year, everybody's team is in the pennant race, right? We're going to all win the pennant right now, so enjoy that. By the end of May, some of our teams will be long gone, so we'll all be excited today. So joining me today to talk Disney, great way to kick off the week. We're going to northeastern Pennsylvania. Big Phillies fans, we have Sarah. Sarah, how's it going today?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Glad to have a Phillies fan because I grew up a Phillies fan. I'm always a Cardinals fan first because that's my team, but I have some history with the Phillies. My dad used to catch John Denny, who pitched for the Phillies in the early to mid 80s. So love that city. That city is wild about their sports.
Yes, they're doing well this year. Got the Eagles winning the Super Bowl, so we're hoping that the Phillies can come around and get us another championship.
What would happen if the Phillies won the World Series the same year the Eagles won the Super Bowl? Your town might burn. Well, you're not in Philly, but Philly might burn down. I'd be scared for my friends there.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm about 2 hours out at that point. So
you may be outside the radius of danger, but I don't know, man. Phillies fans look like they could burn down the whole East Coast. Who knows? Anyway, we're not going to talk baseball today as much as I would like to do that. We're going to talk Disney, one of my other favorite topics. And you've had a couple of recent trips we're going to touch on today. And you just recently got back, just a couple weeks back, from a couples-only Walt Disney World vacation. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, my husband and I were expecting another baby this August, so we decided until it gets a little crazy around the house that we get away for a couple of days, use our DVC points, and take some time, just the two of us, to get down to Disney before this baby arrives.
Well, first of all, congratulations on the new baby on the way.
Thank you.
All right, so you guys mentioned your DVC members, so where's your home resort?
Our home resort is the Polynesian.
Nice.
But this one, we opted to stay at Saratoga Springs. A little bit easier to get room availability there sometimes. So,
Yeah, Saratoga is definitely one of those places. It's just so massive. And until recent years, it was just one of those places that wasn't very high on a lot of guests' radar. But with the resurgence of Disney Springs and how much there is going on there, now it is a destination. I mean, you really don't go on a weeks-long Walt Disney World vacation without visiting Disney Springs now, maybe multiple times. So what was it like staying there? Was there a different feel? Because, you know, maybe I think with a couples only trip, that would be a place to go and dine and shop and just relax during the long weekend.
Yeah. You know, when we bring the kids, staying at the Polynesian is great because you're right on the monorail and they love going to Magic Kingdom. But now that it was just the two of us, we decided, you know, the bus rides wouldn't be that big of a deal because we're not, you know, lugging a double stroller or anything like that. So, but we went over to Disney Springs every day that we were there. We stayed in the Congress Park section of the resort. So it was very easy just to walk right over that bridge and go over, grab lunch, grab a late night, you know, sweet snack or do some shopping and come right back.
So is Saratoga Springs a place that you would stay? Is it higher on your radar than you were expecting? Would you recommend it? What kind of accommodations did you have?
I mean, we stayed in a standard studio, so we didn't have like the greatest view, but we stayed on the bottom floor. Like I said, we were in Congress Park, but the room was big. The room was very big. I'm thinking that it could be pretty comparable to the Polynesian. It had a nice little kitchenette. I did miss having a second, even though it was just the two of us, it's nice having a second bathroom, like the Polynesian studios have, but it was just the two of us, so it wasn't that big of a deal. But it was just the walking, though, if you want to get to the quick service up at Artist Point, the quick service there at Saratoga Springs in the main building, it is quite a walk. So we did a lot of walking, and I know that we probably could have stayed further out from that area, from the main area. A lot of people walking. There is a resort loop that they do with the bus, but we did a lot of walking. It was a massive resort.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you're in a resort like, you know, a Caribbean beach back in the day that's very spread out, Riverside to some extent, but they don't have an internal bus service. But like you said, at Saratoga, you know, you're always kind of in a pickle like, well, is it going to be faster just to, you know, suck it up and walk down to the main building, or should I hop on the bus? Because then you got to wait for the bus to come around. And, you know, a lot of times you think you could probably be there before the bus would get there. So, you know, it's one of those things. I just seize the opportunity and say, I'm getting my exercise. I'm getting my steps in. I'm filling my circles on my Apple Watch. You know, it's what you make of it, I think.
Exactly. I think we did about 10 miles a day, even on this short little trip, just walking from one area to the other into the parks and all of that. So
what are some of the other highlights, especially going into the parks? You know, it's just a couple. You don't have to worry about, you know, all the extraneous things that you do with kids, like you said, strollers and, you know, kids getting finicky around dinner time if they're hungry or tired. I mean, sounds like heaven to me. So how'd it go?
Yeah. Well, you know what? It was kind of sad in Magic Kingdom. I missed our kids so much because there's so many kids there. But it was nice to not have to worry. We had a couple of fast passes, but we didn't have to worry about the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. My son is a big Seven Dwarfs Mine Train fan, and the lines are always so long. You have to worry about when your fast pass is to get there so that he can experience that. And we didn't have to really worry about that. We did a lot of people watching and a lot of sitting, you know, and enjoying the warm weather because it's really cold still up here in Pennsylvania. But the one thing that I must say that we got to really do was Epcot. The kids love Future World and Epcot, but when you get into the World Showcase, they're bored, they're tired, they want to get on another ride. So we were able to really explore the different pavilions. We even got to walk down to the Boardwalk Resort and see the boardwalk and really see that area there too. So we got to really just relax and enjoy Epcot for really the first time because it was just the two of us. So
I think that's a great tip too for folks that are going down, maybe as just a couple and you have, like you said, that extended weekend and you're going to World Showcase, you're going to Epcot. I like how you did that. You extended kind of the tour of the world to going down to the Boardwalk, because if you've never spent time there, stayed at the Boardwalk Inn or maybe Beach or Yacht Club, you know, with the Crescent Lake Loop, you have, you know, places like Ample Hills. You got the Abracadabra if you're in the evening. You know, you have trying to think of the restaurant, the brewing. Why can't I think of the name? No, well, you know what I'm talking about. The brew house. It's kind of like Trailhead here in St. Louis. I'll remember it as soon as I get done recording. But, you know, there's a lot to see down there. And not only that, you know, it's just it's a picturesque place to walk around with your significant other. I mean, it's beautiful. It's like time gone by. And then you can walk right back into Epcot, wrap up the night and call it a day. I mean, I think that's a great combo.
Yeah, it was we did that actually the first night that we were there, and then the Saturday before we left, we did Epcot that night, and we walked down there too. And also we were able to, we didn't stay for Illuminations because it was getting a little crowded, and being pregnant, I got a little tired. But instead of walking, because we were in France, instead of walking all the way to the front and getting a minivan, we decided just to walk down to the Boardwalk Resort and catch a minivan in front of the Boardwalk Resort. So it was nice to kind of get to know those areas, and because they're DVC resorts too, you know, maybe it would be an option for us in the future now that we know what they are and what they, you know, what they look like and what's available there.
Yeah, Boardwalk is amazing. I've stayed there for Marathon Weekend and just fell in love with the place. And it was never, ever on my radar. You know, I was like a Riverside, Pop Century, you know, maybe an Animal Kingdom or Wilderness Lodge kind of guy. But once we stayed at Boardwalk, just because we had a group rate, and, you know, I was like, well, I'll give it a shot on a group rate. And, oh, I loved it. The rooms were nice. The resort was awesome. It is the location you can't beat for a race. It was just, it wins. I love that. And it's Big River, by the way. I heard all you guys yelling at your phones. So see, look at that. I didn't even Google it. You didn't hear any typing. Big River. It came to me because you guys are all screaming at your phones. So there it is. Okay, so let me ask you this, because you're the expert on this. And we get this question quite often, you know, written into the show. And I obviously can't answer it. And neither can the ladies at this point. But any tips for folks that are traveling to Walt Disney World while they're expecting? Because we did that with Pam on our first anniversary. She was, we were expecting Mallory. And I remember she drank a lot of ginger ale. We really had to slow it down because it was the summertime. It was June. But do you have anything for folks out there to think about?
Yeah, just stay hydrated. Wear good shoes because you are going to get, you know, retain some water and get some puffy ankles if you, you know, are wearing flip-flops everywhere, you know. But just wear great shoes and take your time. And luckily this trip we didn't have, you know, we didn't have the kids with us, so we're not running. But just remember that it's, you know, not only you, you know, you're taking care of a little one too. So just drink a lot of water, watch what you eat. Don't eat anything too heavy because, you know, you get a little sick. But yeah, just take your time and enjoy it. And it's nice to enjoy being down there.
Yeah, and you know what? Because I remember when we were going down, and it was our first anniversary, and you know, Pam was expecting, and you know, on the inside as a Disney fan, and this was before I'd been as many times as I have over the past decade. You know, I've been very lucky that I was like, oh, we're gonna have to slow down, and I'm gonna, you know, not be able to see as many things as we typically have the previous couple of years. But looking back on that trip and looking at the pictures that we took, because, you know, with Google Photos, you get to see all, you know, they kind of show up every now and then, you know, this was 10 years ago, all that stuff. That was one of the absolute best trips we ever had, just because it forced us to slow down, because Pam couldn't go at a breakneck pace, you know, in 100 degree weather when she was pregnant, you know. But the thing was, is like, we actually sat down on benches and people watched and talked, and we had longer meals because we weren't in a big rush, and we did more shows that we wouldn't have done, you know, just to get off our feet. And the thing was, it was a great opportunity that otherwise I would have seen as a negative, but it was actually a net positive. The trip was way better than I was expecting.
Yeah, exactly. We, you know, I was a little hesitant about going down to Disney without the kids because I knew I would miss them so much because there are so many kids there. But after the initial, you know, we miss them, it was just nice to be there, just the two of us, and relax a little bit because we know we'll be going back with them, you know, soon. So it was nice just to relax a little. We did actually sit on a park bench between France and Morocco and just, you know, look out on, you know, the little lake there and just, you know, watch people going by and listen to the music. And it was actually a really, really nice moment for just the two of us. So,
yeah. You're not doing that again until the kids are in high school.
No, we're pretty much, yeah, we're done with that for a little while.
I totally am there. I got quite a while until it happens. You know, Paige is now in college, so she's off doing her thing. She's out in while we're recording, she's in the Rocky Mountains on spring break having a good time. But we still got a while for Mallory, so we'll see how that goes. Now, let's kind of shift gears here and talk about your December trip because you went for a longer period. It sounds like the whole crew was there. And actually, right now, folks are planning their Christmas vacations. You know, if you're going down for the holiday season, you know, the tickets for the Halloween and Christmas parties have been out now for quite a bit. I can't believe it already. So, you know, it's like we just got past Easter. Now we're talking about Christmas. So tell us about that trip. Yeah. Where'd you guys stay and when were you there?
So this trip, it was my husband and myself and our son who was just turning six. He was five at the time, and our 2.5-year-old daughter. And we actually brought my mother-in-law, and that was her first trip ever to Disney World. She's never been. So it was exciting to be there with her. We actually stayed at the Polynesian, like I said, is our home resort. And we were in a deluxe studio that sleeps five. So it was a pretty good, it was a little cramped at times, having to pull out the bed and pull it back, you know, to have some room there while we weren't sleeping. But they're big rooms, and we love the Polynesian. The atmosphere is amazing at night when they light the torches. The lava pool is my son's absolute favorite to swim there at night and see the castle all lit up and be able to see the fireworks from the pool. It's a really cool resort.
So tell us about how you said it was your mother-in-law that went with you?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did that come about where, you know, this is going to be her first time ever to Walt Disney World? How did those conversations happen prior to the trip back home? I mean, was it something she'd always wanted to do, or was it something you suggested? You know, I'm a Disney fan. You got to check this place out. You got to go. I mean, how's that happen?
Well, we went to our first ever Disney trip last December of 2016, and we came home Disney Vacation Club members. It was that amazing of a trip where we had never been as a family. We went for the first time and we signed up that trip. So we came home and we said, listen, we're going back. We've got these points and we're going back. And the kids just loved it. And we said, do you want to come? And my father-in-law didn't express any interest, but she, my mother-in-law, just wanted to be there to experience it with her grandchildren because we told her how magical it was and how amazing it was to see the kids, you know, experience all of this. And she wanted to see that. She wanted to be a witness to that. So she was fully on board when we got home in like December. We said, we're going again. She was on board the whole year.
All right, so kind of jumping ahead here because this is the meat of this. This is what I love talking about on the show. You know, of all the things we talk about, resorts and restaurants and fun times in the parks, let's just get here. So was there a moment that she had with the kids that would be like what I call like the planning video moment that you kind of saw them interacting in a situation that probably wouldn't have been possible outside of a Disney setting where, you know, this is why we're DVC members. This is why we come down here. Did anything like that happen during this trip?
Yeah, you know, we went to the Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, and we were in, you know, right on Main Street for the parade, and it's snowing, and she was just beaming. She was just so excited to be there with the kids, and they were so excited to see the characters and to see Santa. And, you know, we were there the previous year before, so they're singing the song, and she was just it was just a moment where, you know, it all came together. It just was a really, really special time for them to be together and to experience that.
Yeah, it's, to me, you know, growing up here in the Midwest and you know, we have snow, you know, some years we don't. It's kind of 50-50 lately.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do have white Christmases every once in a while, so it's not a foreign thing. But the thing is about the Christmas party, especially on Main Street when the parade's going on and you have your hot chocolate, your, you know, maybe a cookie or two, and you're there with those that you love. And they're playing the music and you know, the toy soldiers are coming down Main Street and it's snowing. They got the projections on the buildings. To me, what, you know, if I have to describe that to somebody who's never experienced it, it's as close to being in like a Christmas card as you can be. Or like, to me, like in St. Louis,
yeah,
we have a traditional like Anheuser-Busch commercial with the Clydesdales going through the snow and, you know, and all that, delivering gifts or whatever. But to me, it's like that old fashioned 1970s Christmas card. You know, it's like you're living it there for that evening. And I think that's when you have that kind of a setting, it just puts your heart in kind of a place where you can just really, nothing else is going to affect you. You're going to enjoy the season. You're going to have a great time.
Yeah, you know, that's what I love about Disney. When we're there, it's almost like you're in this, I know you've talked about it before, it's like you're in this Disney bubble and all these other cares don't really matter at that moment. So that just being there celebrating Christmas and, you know, just the music and seeing Mickey and Minnie and the kids being so excited to see these characters that they see on their TV every day. It's a really special moment. I'm really glad that she was able to be there with us and experience it.
Well, me too. That sounds great. So now your kids sound like they're the perfect age for Walt Disney World right now. I mean, they're right there where you need. I mean, I consider I'm 44. That's perfect age too. You know, like I love going.
Yeah.
But for kids, I mean, it's all right there. So what are some of the highlights for your kids? What do they enjoy the most so that somebody that's planning a trip might just have a little perspective on their upcoming adventures?
Well, my son is 6, and his favorite, absolute favorite thing to do is the Jedi training at Hollywood Studios. And the first year that we went, we got there right when the, you know, when the park opened, and we like fast walk because you can't run. They'll tell you, you know, fast walk all the way to Jedi training sign up and get him signed up. This time we learned a little bit. We got a reservation for Hollywood and Vine for like 8:15, 8:20. And you can get there at 8 o'clock and you're able to go and sign up for Jedi training before your reservation. So you're there, you know, signing up before the park even opens. So you have, you know, the
good
pick
tip
of what time you want during the day. So Jedi training for him is just the highlight of his trip. He gets to wear, you know, the robe, the Padawan robe, and then you get to wear the lightsaber and fight Darth Vader. I think he fought Darth Vader one time and then Kylo Ren one time. It was just, and then you get a pin afterwards that says, you know, you trained, and it's just, he would not stop talking about it every time he does it. So that's really exciting for him.
So where else, too, can you do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, where else can you battle Darth Vader with lightsabers? And the thing is, like, because Mallory did this years back, and, you know, we still talk about it, but the thing that I love about it as a parent, you know, coming from my perspective, is that we have these amazing pictures. You know, Mallory was just a little squirt. She was probably 6, you know, maybe 7. She was little, you know, especially standing next to Darth Vader fighting him. You know, those are the pictures I'm going to show her prom date, you know, someday down the line. You know,
yeah,
watch out, man. She can wield a mean lightsaber. She almost took out Darth Vader one time. But, I mean, those are the memories that they're going to remember them, but you're always going to have the images and you're always going to have that forever, you know? And it's like, where else can you create that memory than a Disney park?
Yeah. And it's something experiential. It's something that you're doing. I mean, he loves, you know, doing Star Tours afterwards and then going over to Star Wars Launch Bay and seeing all these. And we met Chewbacca and we met BB-8. And BB-8 told him that he could be a Jedi one day. And then, like, you know, he walked out, like, this huge, like, a smile on his face. So BB-8 told me I could be a Jedi one day. I was like, That's so he, right, buddy.
So he's like using the force the rest of the day to like open doors. Get out of my way.
Exactly.
Get out of my way. I'm a Padawan. What about your daughter, though? She's younger, and so obviously she probably has different likes than your son. So what were some of the highlights for her?
Yeah, you know, she does not like the characters yet. She, you know, she loves looking at them from afar. Her favorite ride is the Winnie the Pooh ride, and she loves to go to Crystal Palace and see Winnie the Pooh, but not so much up close and personal. But she loves to sit there and eat breakfast and look at them. But the one time she did, the only character that she went up to this entire trip and all of our trips is actually Lilo from Lilo and Stitch. We went to the Ohana breakfast one of our last days that we were there. And, you know, Mickey came up, Pluto came up, and just she wanted nothing to do. But Lilo came up, and she went right up to her and gave her a big hug and held her hand and, you know, took a picture with her. So that, I feel like, was the highlight for her. She actually let her guard down a little bit and just loved Lilo. So that was great for her.
I'm kind of with her, though. You know what? I mean, how often do you see fuzzy bears that are 7 foot tall coming at you and they don't talk, you know, and mice that are 6 feet tall, you know, wanting to take pictures, you know, dogs like Goofy that are 7 foot tall, you know, coming at you with big floppy ears. I don't know. You know, maybe she's onto something that we all, maybe we're drinking the Kool-Aid a little too much. But, you know, speaking of Lilo, though, Lilo kind of, you know, she doesn't look threatening, you know, a girl, and she doesn't look that huge, you know, so maybe that's the most realistic thing. And so do your kids watch like a lot of, you know, Disney movies, Disney programming, so they're comfortable with all these characters? Because it sounds like Winnie the Pooh is one of her favorites.
Yeah, we have Disney Junior on at like on a reel in our house.
I remember that.
You know, it's so we love Mickey Mouse Clubhouse, and she watches Winnie the Pooh, and she. And, you know, our kids, they love the newest movie coming out. Coco is now their favorite at this point because Coco just came out on DVD. But, yeah, so they're in love with all Disney characters. So
I haven't seen Coco yet. Everybody tells me that everybody's crying in the theater, man. I don't need anything to make me cry. Like, Up is still, like, I'm still torn up about Up. And that was, like, 7 years ago, I think. I don't know. I got to get the courage to get, maybe I'll watch it while everybody's at school, or, you know, and I'll be the only one. I'll be like, I can't work the rest of the day. It's so sad because Pixar movies tear my heart out. So honest to God, that's why I haven't seen that movie. Cause I just heard, I don't know if I can take that emotional journey with that movie yet. So we'll see. So let me ask you, you mentioned dining and you mentioned some of my favorite places, Crystal Palace, and Ohana's breakfast with Lilo and Stitch. That's one of my underrated great places to have a breakfast, especially character breakfast. But what are some of your other favorites as far as dining around Walt Disney World?
Well, this couples only trip that we did this past week, we went to California Grill the first time, and my husband, he cannot stop talking about the steak that he had. He said it was probably the best meal that he's ever had, ever. He thoroughly enjoyed his meal. So that was a really great experience. With the family, though, we love Crystal Palace. We at least have a breakfast there once or twice during our trip. We love the beer garden with the Oompa Band,
yes.
And the food is really great. And the kids dance when the Oompa Band is on, and that's a really great place for us to kind of, you know, go in the middle of the day in the hot World Showcase area. So we really like that. Another place that we tried for the first time this past December was Yak and Yeti. And that was our first time ever there. And that was a great meal, too. That meal was amazing. And it was a nice location within Animal Kingdom. So it was nice to get away because that park gets a little bit hot too.
That's a
hot park too.
So
it was nice to have the, you know, a mid-afternoon meal, and it was such good food. So I can't think of anywhere else that is just really our favorite places to go. The Ohana breakfast is amazing. We really like Ohana breakfast. That's our second time being there. And the bread that they give you in the morning with the pineapple, that I could probably just eat that and coffee and be completely content. But yeah, so those are just some places that we like there.
Yeah, you named some really, really good places, not only just for families, but for anybody, for couples, you know. Especially I like the idea of Beer Garden, because it's a, I think this is an ideal place for families where the kids aren't super picky. I mean, I think that if you have a really, really picky kid, it might not be the place to go, but the fact that it's kind of loud in there, they have the band playing, it kind of looks like you're eating in the middle of a village. There's a buffet, so most people can find lots of things that they're going to like, and you can go up and get it, as you know, at your own pace. You're not dependent on a waiter or waitress to bring things to you. I think that, and it's not, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg like other places in World Showcase. So I think Beer Garden, especially with a family, is something not to be overlooked. That's a good call.
Yeah, and we didn't do the meal plan these last couple of times. We actually opted to get the annual pass because we've been going so often. And between the annual pass and being DVC members, there's some pretty great discounts with a lot of the restaurants. So we've been able to kind of work within that and find some really great restaurants that aren't too bad. My husband and I actually had one night, my mother-in-law stayed back with the kids, and we went to Le Cellier.
Yes.
And that steak was really good. And the poutine, I think I'm saying that correctly, correct, right?
That's right, poutine. I mean, I'm from Missouri, fries. Who knows? Yeah, I think that's how we say it.
Yeah, that was amazing. We got the poutine there. It was so good. But yeah, so Le Cellier was a really great place for us to have a good steak, and that was great too.
Yeah, I still haven't had poutine in my whole life. Like, I've been meaning to have it over at Disney Springs at the little stand, because it looks really good, the daily poutine or whatever that's called. But it's one of those things, like, I'm always full because I eat somewhere else, and then I'm like, oh, I can't, you know, because it looks like something that we just wear, especially when it's the summertime. Like, oh, that's going to throw me over the edge, because usually I'm rolling out a homecoming, or I just had Deluxe Burger, or, you know, it's like, it's high on my list. This summer, it's going to happen, so I'll put that on my list here. Let me ask you about this, though, because I love that we have you on here, because you've got a lot of experience here. You got these two kids, you know, the older one is just getting ready, on the cusp of starting elementary school, the younger daughter's preschool age. What tips and tricks have you learned to help everybody have a good vacation when it comes to little kids? Because I remember Mallory and Paige, even Paige when she was young, you know, like, their moods can turn on a dime, and you really got to accommodate them for everybody to have a successful trip.
Yeah, you know, even though my son was almost six on this trip, we still opted to get a double stroller. Because, you know, he has a lot of energy. He will walk the whole park, but he will get very grumpy once he gets tired. So having that option that he could just hop in the double stroller along with, you know, his two-year-old sister, that was great. And he could just, you know, veg out when he gets too hot or if he gets a little tired. So having the double stroller just, you know, for him too, was really helpful. I used a baby carrier with our two-year-old daughter still, and she's not super tall, so I can still wear her on my back. That helped her out a lot. You know, she's not a big fan of, like, huge, huge crowds, so being able to hold her, put her on my back so she's close to me, that helped with her mood tremendously, and it helped with us, you know, not with our back too, you know, not having to carry her on the hip the whole time. So being able to have those two things, just kind of, you know, with logistics, like, just being a practical thing to help out. And I know you've mentioned how you guys do Disney is, you know, exactly what we do. We get up in the morning when it's, you know, the crowds aren't too bad. We'll have breakfast in the park, or we'll, you know, catch a quick breakfast at the resort and head over there. And then around 1 o'clock or so, 12:30, 1 o'clock, we head back to the resort. And my daughter took naps. My son loves to swim. He was swimming all afternoon. and then we go back in the evening time. And just not pushing them too hard. You know, we really wanted to see Happily Ever After. I really wanted to see it, but it just made more sense to watch it on the beach at the Polynesian. You could see the fireworks. You can see some of the castle. You're not getting the whole effect like if you were sitting in front of the castle, but just being able to, you know, right when it was over, pick up and go right to our room to get some sleep. That was really helpful. And they pipe in the music and it through the resort so you can experience the music along with the fireworks. So, but it just made for a more pleasant trip if we weren't pushing them too much. And they were able to get some downtime and relax too.
You know, and that's the beauty of staying right on the monorail loop there. You know, especially if you have kids your age, you're going to spend time in the Magic Kingdom. You know, that's kind of where they are. You know, and Epcot's just a monorail ride away too. So, like you said, I mean, yeah, it's great to be right in the middle of the hub for Happily Ever After. But as soon as the show's over and you're you know 50 yards from your hotel room in your bed, you're like, well, you know, that was okay. I got to see all the fireworks. You know, and there's something to be said for that. And like you said, when you're it's something to think about when you have younger kids and you're trying to think about doing what you said, you know, taking that mid-afternoon break. You know, we always stayed at Pop Century and we'd take that bus back, which isn't a bad bus ride. But I mean, if I'd have had my options, I would have really liked to have been at the Polynesian or Contemporary, you know, or Grand Floridian where I could just jump on a monorail or a boat. And, you know, I'm back in 15 minutes and taking my nap, you know, so something to be said for that and to consider. Yeah. So look, one other tip, you mentioned the strollers. I just want to throw this out there for folks that are, you know, at that, like your son's age, you know, that are at that cusp of, they're going to be happier if we can keep them off their feet just a little. Like, they're moving out of the stroller age, but they still, they're going to be happier if they can ride in a stroller still a little bit. What we used to do when Mallory was on that edge, we had a McLaren stroller, so like an umbrella stroller that was really nice. I remember splurging on this because I read all the reviews and everything. I'm like, well, we're going to use this thing for like 6 years. I want to get a good one. So what we would do is, we would literally take it into the park. And I remember doing this at the Magic Kingdom especially, is that, you know, if she didn't want to be in the stroller, because sometimes she'd fight us on it, we'd take it and park it right there by in Town Square, kind of next to where you have the meet and greet for Mickey. And there's a big stroller lot there. So we park it at the entrance to the park. And then we just go off and walk and wouldn't even take the stroller with us. However, if we needed it later that night, like a couple hours later, if I'm like, you know, we're back at Big Thunder or something and she's just melting down or she's tired, I just walk up to the front of the park, grab the stroller, and we had it. So it was in the park. It didn't like trail us around the whole day, but it was there if needed. And if we didn't need it, we just grabbed it on the way out of the park. You just had to remember that you parked it there. You know, like at the end of the day, you had to remember, oh yeah, our stroller's there. But I mean, that's one way to kind of have it there as like a just in case situation. So that could be something to think about too. But yeah, I have no problem with, you know, the kids that are getting a little bit bigger, you know, riding a stroller, because like you just said, I mean, their stamina isn't up to walking 10 miles a day, not even near that. So good call.
Yeah, exactly. And there's so many areas in the park that you can have stroller parking. We like to park it near the Tangle, like near the Rapunzel bathroom, because we spend a lot of time in that area right there. And it's just great to know that you have it if you need it, you know, it's there.
So now, did you guys fly down or drive? Did you guys fly?
We flew. We actually flew out from Philly, direct flight right into MCO. And what we did this time in December, we actually flew in on a Friday night, and we stayed at the Hyatt, which is right inside MCO. And then that morning, then Saturday morning, we hopped on Magical Express like super early, like 8:30 in the morning, and headed to the Polynesian. And we loved that way. We weren't, you know, it's not like we missed a day because we were traveling in that day. We had a whole like bonus day. So that was something that we really, we think we're going to, you know, we're going to do again in the future.
Yeah, I've thought about doing that myself. And a lot of folks ask me about that. My brother-in-law stayed there before the podcast cruise a couple of cruises ago, and he said they really enjoyed it. It worked out well for them. So the room's nice and everything is up to par there to kind of get you ready for that next morning. And, you know, you're there. You can just take off and hop on a bus and you're ready to go.
Oh, yeah. The room that we got, I think we just got a basic room. You know, I didn't ask for anything fancy. It was a huge room, huge king size bed, had a pull out for my mother-in-law and my son slept on that. Big bathroom just to, you know, get off the plane and take a shower and get a good night's sleep and then get to, you know, Magical Express is so accommodating. It didn't matter if we, you know, didn't fly in that morning. They still took us that morning. We had to get our own luggage, which was fine. You know, we were able to, you know, get out to the Polynesian and really have that day to swim and to hang out and go to the parks later in the night. So it wasn't like we were missing a day.
Because let me ask you one more thing here. And, you know, as far as packing, when you have kids that age and you're flying. So, you know, that's why I asked if you're flying or driving. We used to drive all the time. So we took everything and the kitchen sink. You know, if you recall, we used to bring we have a Trailblazer and we had a trailer behind us. We had everything that you could possibly need. And if we didn't need it, we just left it out in the trailer in the parking lot. Nowadays, they probably charge us $100 a night to park the thing. I mean, that was back before parking fees. I didn't even think about that. But, you know, how did you decide what comes, what doesn't in you know, packing strategies for folks that are flying down? You got two kids.
Yeah. What's really nice about having a DVC room is they really are so wonderful. They give you so much in the kitchen area. You know, we bought from Garden Grocers and that food was waiting for us when we got there. And also, you know, they have a pack and play in the DVC room. So that's there in case you need it. Our daughter, you know, likes to snuggle up with us in bed. So she wasn't too keen on the pack and play, but she's two. But but that was there for her in case she, you know, she would sleep in it. But they really do have so much. And I like to just do as minimal as possible because the first time we went, I overpacked and I had a full suitcase of things that we really didn't use. I did so much research on, you know, what the kids needed to distract them during line, or you know what did they need during those downtimes. And we had a suitcase full of glow sticks and different things that we just didn't use. So now every time I go, I have like a 4-page packing list, and usually when I come back, I cross out things that we just don't need anymore. Now, next year, bringing a 6-month-old, that, you know, probably my attitude might change. But this last time, bringing a 6 and 2-year-old, I like to do it as minimal as possible.
Yeah, after a decade of this, I finally taught myself that Orlando's in the United States, and you know, if I forget something, yeah, I can probably buy it there. You know, like, I mean, it might cost more, but I don't have to like stress out on the plane. Like, oh, did I forget my toothbrush? Guess what? They sell them there. You know, I can buy one.
Exactly. And Amazon Prime is so wonderful.
Yes.
You know, we forgot sunscreen. I don't know how I forgot sunscreen this past weekend. And I just did Amazon Prime, got some sunscreen, and it was there within 2 hours. And, you know, I didn't have to worry about it, you know.
Great tip. Yeah, I wish they had that here in St. Louis, that Amazon Prime Now. Boy, it has saved my hide a couple of times already on Disney trips. And I use it because, you know, I'll be like, I want a case of Coke Zero. Boom, it's there. You know, like I go swimming and it's already waiting for me when I get back. It's crazy. So good tips. Now, as we wrap up, you got to have another trip planned. So when are you guys heading back? I know you're expecting and all that, but do you have anything on the books yet?
Yeah, well, I'm actually next week because you can schedule your DVC trip for your home resort 11 months out. So we're actually going to go March 2nd to March 9th, you know, hoping that there's some availability at the Polynesian next year for that. And this will be our first time. We're thinking we're going to go with friends of ours that have two little girls of their own. So this will be a first time for me trying to plan with another family and trying to figure out, you know, how to kind of loop how we do Disney with, you know, their first ever Disney trip. So it should be, we're really excited to experience Disney with them. And so that should be fun.
Now, are you going to try to get something like a big villa so you can stay in the same unit? Because that's really fun. I got to do that once.
Yeah, you know, we talked a little bit, my husband and I talked a little bit about the treehouse villas in Saratoga. The big ones at the bungalows at Polynesian, they're way beyond the points that we have.
You stay there for 3 hours.
Yeah, that's basically the points that we have. We could probably be there for an hour or two, but yeah. So we're not really sure yet. We're just in the pre-planning, you know, stages. Just kind of picked out the dates and you know, see what works for them and what works for us. So, but yeah, we're really excited. And the weather this time being down there in March was just absolutely beautiful, especially with the winter that the Northeast has been having. So we're really looking forward to doing the Flower and Garden and, you know, experiencing Disney in March again.
Oh, I can't wait. I'll be down there this time next week. I'll actually see something alive and green. And yeah. Maybe the breeze won't be 40 degrees and out of the north. I am so excited to get out of St. Louis. So you've done that today. We're all excited. We got a little taste of Christmas, a little taste of Flower and Garden, and kind of a little bit of everything today. So thanks a lot, Sarah, for coming on and kicking off the week the right way. We really, really appreciate it. And go Phillies.
Yes, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by our friends over at thewisdomofwalt.com. Two great books for the Disney fan in your life. It may be you. You know what? Spring's a great time to read. A lot of us have allergies. You want to stay inside. Hey, and if you don't have allergies, get out, sit under a tree, enjoy the sun with a copy of The Wisdom of Walt, the original book about Disneyland, and the new book, Beyond the Wisdom of Walt. Both books walk you through Walt's life and his dream to turn his animation successes into three-dimensional experiences that we could walk through and experience. But more than that, it talks about relationships, how Walt got the most out of those around him, and how we can do the same. So check out all these great books over at thewisdomofwalt.com. And while you're on your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even, oh my gosh, I'm here this time next week, Universal Vacation, stay out of lines and have a great time with our friends over at touringplans.com. Check them out. Customized touring plans, restaurant reviews, hotel reviews, everything you need over there, right there at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike. And we've got a great, great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thanks, as always, for downloading the show. And if you don't mind this week, spread the word. You know, put it out there on Twitter, Instagram, that you're listening to the show. Just hit that share button, and we'd really, really appreciate that. So for Sarah, I'm Mike, wishing you an awesome Monday, but time to head back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.